College students and recent grads interested in business, London is calling. Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining me for this, the 180th episode of Admissions Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you get to that delightful instant when you can high-five the person next to you and exclaim, "Yes, I'm in!" Not only in, but in at the best program for you. Now, over the last 10 years, we have seen a lot more option in graduate management education. I've highlighted some of these options on previous shows, like the recent shows we've had on the SEMS Masters in International Management, which is at accepted.com/161, or UVA's MS in Global Commerce, that's accepted.com/149, or MIT's MS in Business Analytics, accepted.com/159. Today, we're going to explore three options at London Business School. It's my pleasure to have back on Admissions Straight Talk to accomplish that goal, Jamie Wright. She is the Senior Recruitment and Admissions Manager at London Business School for Early Career Programs. She has been working with London Business School's Early Career Programs since 2009 and became the Senior Recruitment and Admissions Manager in 2012. She was previously a guest on Accepted's old online chats and also on an earlier show of Admissions Straight Talk devoted to London Business School's Masters in Management and Global Masters in Management. And you can find that show at accepted.com/85. Today, she's going to discuss the expanding and evolving menu of early career options at London Business School. Jamie, welcome back to Admissions Straight Talk.
Thank you for having me, Linda.
It's a pleasure. Now, can you give us an overview of the three early career options at London Business School? Tell us about all three, but maybe focus a little bit more on the newest one, which is the Masters in Financial Analysis.
Sure. So the programs which we discussed during our last chat, the Masters in Management and Global Masters in Management, might be seen as sort of the flagship programs of the early careers portfolio of programs. So the Masters in Management is a one-year general management degree where students come to study the fundamentals of business, the foundations of business. So that includes finance, accounting, economics, marketing, leadership, entrepreneurship, all with an aim to pursue a career in business after completing their studies. Most of the students sort of go into finance and consulting, but we're continuing to see more of an interest in industry roles. Industry could include technology, entrepreneurship, marketing, healthcare, media, essentially anything that's not sort of finance consulting. So alongside the Masters in Management, we also have the Global Masters in Management, which is an exciting two-year degree where students spend the first year studying in London at London Business School on the MIM, and then they travel over to Shanghai to spend their second year studying at Fudan University. So students will receive two master's degrees, a Master's in Management from London Business School and a Master's in International Business from Fudan University. And sort of ideally being able to give students an insight into how business is done in Europe and also in Asia. So really giving that kind of two-world perspective being the aim of the two-year degree. And then the program that you mentioned, the newest addition to the early careers portfolio, is the Master's in Financial Analysis. This is a one-year degree, and it's really the specialist degree within the early careers programs. It's a technical program aimed at students coming from quantitative backgrounds looking to pursue roles in finance. So in order to be eligible for the program, we're looking for individuals who have come from numerate backgrounds, heavily numerate backgrounds, including math, sciences, finance, accounting, engineering. And the program sort of encapsulates a lot of what the MIM and the GMIM offers in terms of that practical tuition, career support, and also experiential learning, which we can definitely talk a little bit about today as well.
Okay, wow, that was a great overview. Thank you. For the Global Masters in Management program, is knowledge of Chinese required?
It's not
Encouraged?
required. It's certainly encouraged, but we're actually seeing that students coming into the Global Masters in Management have very different levels of Mandarin proficiency. Some students having maybe a little bit of an insight. Maybe they've had some experience of traveling in China. Maybe they spent a semester studying abroad in China, but maybe don't aren't sort of fully fluent in Mandarin. And on the other side of that, we have some students who are coming in with intermediate skills. The great thing about the Global MIM is because you don't have to have the Mandarin proficiency as an applicant, we do offer language courses during the first year study at London Business School. So all students, sort of regardless of their language skills, can come get together and study sort of as a class of one and sort of hone those language skills before the second year in Shanghai.
Well, okay. What's the difference between the MIM and the MBA at London Business School? Is there a different? I mean, obviously, there's a difference in terms of the experience expectations, but in terms of what's being learned and taught.
Sure. Well, I think the experience is linked to that learning experience inside of the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
The MBAs at London Business School have an average of around sort of 5-6 years of work experience. And faculty are expecting students to be able to bring that real world experience into the learning environment inside of the classroom and be able to engage in discussion and debate sort of using that experience that they have. Students on the early career programs, most students will come in with some internship experience. Most students have an average about a year of work experience, not postgraduate, but you know, summer internships and work experience during school breaks.
Right.
But they don't have that sort of same level of exposure to the business world. So that's where we, as a program and as faculty, aim to bring that to the students in the classroom. So I think the experience and the learning is linked in that sense. But certainly both programs do focus on general management studies. You know, the MBA focuses on those fundamental foundations of business in the year one, and also Masters in Management and the Global MIMs do also spend their entire year in a one-year program focusing on those business fundamentals.
So the MBA gives the student an opportunity to, well, you have a whole other year potentially of learning, academic year.
That's correct, because we do offer a two-year program.
Right. And when are potential students, do you think, let's say I'm a senior in college, and I'm thinking of, am I better off going with an early career master's degree, or am I better off working for a few years and then getting an MBA? Or maybe the question isn't am I, but under what circumstances would I be better off going for one as opposed to the other?
That's a very good question, and one that we get, and you know, in particular from those individuals who are looking to pursue career paths where an MBA usually does fall into that path at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say it's a very personal decision. You know, there'll be some industries, some companies which like to have MBA on staff. There are some industries, some companies where maybe having an MBA degree isn't as important in order to sort of progress in your career. So I'd say it's difficult to kind of gauge at the early career stage whether or not you would need an MBA at some point in your career. What I would say is if after completing your undergraduate studies, if you have that dream job, that job that you would be coming to one of our programs to hopefully get after completing the MIM or the GMIM or the MFA, and that's the job that you see yourself being able to develop in over the next few years, being able to grow professionally in over the next few years and develop the skills that you need to get to that sort of first, second, or third promotion,
yeah,
then I'd say maybe it would make sense to, you know, think about pursuing that job and then look to moving out of that at some point and pursuing an MBA. But on the flip side of that, I think, you know, there are couple things to think about. If perhaps you are not entirely sure of what industry or what role you want to go into, you want to explore the recruitment landscape further and you want to speak with individuals who have experience in those industries or in those companies to kind of get a better insight into whether that's the right direction you should be going into. I think you know, the early career programs are a really fantastic place to kind of develop those thoughts a little bit further. I think also if you feel that you're missing some of that business acumen, or you feel you need to develop your soft skills, and you need to feel that you will be fully prepared to step into the workplace and be able to excel in an environment where you're working in teams and need to perhaps manage up as well as manage down and manage laterally. So I think the soft skills development as well, if that's something that you feel you are looking to maybe refine a little bit more before going into the workplace, then I think the early career programs can also be a great support there.
And what about, let's say I were to graduate from college and go for the MIM, and then go into consulting or investment banking or whatever career was my choice. And after 3-4 years in that field, I realized, you know what? I need to get an MBA to advance in this field. Could I enroll in the second year at London Business School and complete the master's? Or would I have to start with my cohort at the beginning of the master's, of the MBA?
There's not currently any option for graduates from the Master's in Management program if they were to apply to the MBA to then sort of immediately move into the second year. Mm-hmm. But what I would say is we're actually starting to see Master's in Management graduates pursuing MBAs at other schools. Mm-hmm. And I think this has given them an opportunity to gain new networks, gain new faculty insights, and maybe gain a different perspective. So we have found that most of the students who are pursuing MBAs tend to be in the U.S. or in Asia. So they've maybe already had that European exposure to business. They're looking for maybe a different knowledge base.
Okay, great. Let's move on and talk about the Master's in Financial Analysis for a second. What is the difference between London Business School's Master's in Finance, which has been around for several years, I don't remember exactly when you introduced it, and the Master's in Financial Analysis, the new program?
So the Masters in Finance and the Masters in Financial Analysis are aimed at individuals in two separate points in their career. So the Masters in Financial Analysis, or the MFA as we might refer to it, is for individuals who have less than 1 year of experience. So we do see that most students who have been applying to the MFA and who have been accepted to the MFA, because we've just had our first class, our inaugural class, just joined us this past August, tend to have some work experience. Thank you. Does have some work experience, but it's really aimed at those who are looking to kind of move into that first role after completing their studies. Whereas the Master's in Finance is a program for experienced professionals. So the average for the Master's in Finance is around 6 years. Like the MBA, the students on the Master's in Finance are really expected to bring that real-world experience into the classroom and to be able to, support their peers and engage in faculty discussion using that experience base. And the classes are also aimed at those individuals who have some background in finance.
And how is the curriculum different? I mean, is the curriculum, I know they have to be numerate, as you put it, to enroll in the MFA. Is the curriculum much different for the MFA and the Master's in Finance?
Yeah, the curriculum for the MFA is really, I suppose, compared to the Master's in Finance, would be more introductory.
Okay.
The curriculum for the Master's in Finance, we focus around what we call sort of these five pillars of learning in areas where we know students are interested in potentially working. So they include corporate finance, asset management, accounting, financial markets, and financial econometrics. So when the MFA was created, very much like the MIM and the GMIM, we reached out to our recruiting partners and we basically said, what knowledge do graduates into your programs, into your companies, what do they need to have? What are they lacking? So we've used sort of those conversations and also conversations with faculty to sort of create these five pillars, which we hope will really be able to prepare students for those first jobs they have after graduation.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that, graduates of the Master's in Management tend to go into consulting and, I guess, investment banking, but it's or financial roles, but that the recruiting is diversifying, and that you just talked about where graduates of the MFA get jobs. What about the global Master's in Management? What do they tend to go into?
Well, we've actually just had our first global MIM class go to Shanghai to start their program.
Oh, all right.
Just in September. We won't have any employment information for those students for another year once they complete their studies. But we do know that in that sort of summer break between first year at LBS and second year in Fudan, a lot of students were engaging in internships, both here in London and around the world. So as not to have any gaps on their CV between their study and to continue gaining experience and developing knowledge in whatever industries they're interested in. But we will have that employment information in a year's time, which I know is a bit of a wait. But what
I'll
we will be
have
doing,
you back.
Because this, well, yes, well, we will be happy to be back and hopefully share all the really great roles that the students have gone into. But because this is the first year that students are in Shanghai, we will be running webinars, probably starting in the new year, with the global MIMS who are in Shanghai, just to get a sense of what their life is like over there, what they're learning, and how everything is linked to their first year studies in the MIM, and the goals that they've gone in with, and whether they've been able to achieve those goals. So we'll be running a few webinars over the next year, so that should be an exciting one for us to learn more about.
That'd be great. Sounds good. I look forward to hearing more. Any success stories of, I guess it would be the MIM at this point, not because you don't have graduates of the Global MIM, and obviously the MFA, you just enrolled your first class. Do you have any success stories from some of the MIM students that have graduated that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I mean, we see, I think, success in many different ways. So certainly there will be students who have gone into, you know, whatever company they were hired into after completing their studies, and they've stayed there and progressed over the years. So an example is I was in Poland last weekend and met with some alumni, and one of the alums was able to develop at Goldman Sachs in London. And through that experience, he was able to start building knowledge of private equity and gaining a sort of a name for himself in private equity, and an opportunity for a large private equity firm, which was looking to open up in Warsaw, opened up, and he was able to sort of parlay that experience at Goldman Sachs into being able to go open this office in Warsaw, where it's just him and another partner.
Wow.
So that's been, I think, a really interesting interesting path to see him sort of going through that corporate world. He's still in the corporate world, but in some sense a little bit of a startup, because they're really starting things off from the ground. So that's been an interesting one to see. We have a lot of really interesting stories about entrepreneurs, students who have gone into consulting, finance, technology, and who have decided to pursue entrepreneurial aspirations. So I think we've had to date about 30 companies developed from MIM graduates in very diverse areas.
Can you give an example?
We have someone who has a high-end shoe company, so he makes very high-end bespoke shoes right here in the UK. We have students who are involved in online services. So we have one individual who has created a company where they are a mobile salon. So they come to your house, they come to your workplace to provide salon services. And they've actually just recently paired with a few designers for London Fashion Week. So they're kind of expanding beyond the personal mobile market to the sort of fashion industry mobile market, which is really exciting. And we've had students going on to create sort of other products and services. And we have some information about this on our website. But it's been really interesting to see the directions that students are going into. And, you know, also being able to see that our programs have been able to support them through that journey from consulting or finance or technology and marketing through to entrepreneurship. So that's been, you know, really thrilling for us to see.
How successful are grads in getting jobs outside the EU or in the UK if they're not UK citizens?
So in terms of students looking for jobs here in the UK who aren't EU citizens, It's certainly possible. We do see students staying. We always say there's that extra challenge that, you know, you wouldn't require a visa to work here. But luckily, we have a fantastic career center who provide a lot of support in helping to educate not just students, but also employers in terms of what the, you know, working rights are, what the working possibilities are. But sort of the key thing that we tell all students, regardless of where they come from, is you need to be flexible. You need to be flexible on location. You need to be flexible on company, so as not to sort of pigeonhole yourself into one place. The students who are most successful in their job searches are the ones who sort of understand there's a plan A and there are five routes or avenues to get into the plan A. Then there's a plan B. There are five more avenues to get into the plan B. And I would say that you know, certainly is relevant to working location as well.
Right. Yeah, I think flexibility is probably really important. I once talked to an applicant. Sorry. This was several years ago, but I'll never forget the call. This guy, he'd been rejected at MBA programs, and this guy had told me that I think that his goal in 10 years was to be CEO of one specific, you know, major media company. It wasn't companies like this company. It was this company. And I said, look, I'm all for specific goals, but I think that's going a little too far.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we really encourage students to, you know, come in with those goals. We want to understand, we actually ask quite a bit about career plans through the application and the interview processes, because we want to have an understanding of, you know, what are your career goals and can we help you to achieve those goals? Do we have the resources to support you in hopefully being able to achieve your ambitions? You know, certainly we encourage students to explore all of the opportunities that exist at London Business School, and during the year there are a lot of opportunities to be exposed to different industries, different individuals who might work in companies you've never thought of or industries you've never thought of, and I think thinking about how your skill set could be applied to different companies, could be applied to different industries, that's something that's I guess an internal discussion an internal conversation we encourage students to have with themselves and also each other during the year. You know, we also have a great alumni support within the London Business School community as well, and we really encourage students to, you know, utilize that resource to explore all your interests, because that's one of the great things about having a year is to be able to explore your interests, whatever they may be, you know, professionally or personally. And one thing that I did forget to mention in terms of that alumni community, you mentioned in terms of finding postgraduate jobs, maybe outside of the UK or outside of the EU. That's again where this, you know, really great resource of the alumni community comes in. After the graduation this year, we now have 42,000 alumni. Wow. Across all of our programs in, I believe, 55 countries now. So, you know, there's generally always someone to talk to about, you know, business in a particular market, industry in a particular market, and that's a fantastic resource. So I keep talking about resource. I think that, you know, one of the key things at London Business School, there are lots of resources, lots of opportunities. It's just really understanding how you can best utilize those resources and opportunities, and how you can maximize them in the 1 year that you have here on one of the early career programs.
Are you concerned about Brexit's impact on recruiting and hiring?
It's definitely something we're keeping a very close eye on, you know, along with a lot of our other fellow schools here in the United Kingdom.
And probably
Kingdom.
A lot of businesses in the United Kingdom, too.
Yes, yes. Well, and that's, you know, one of the great things about the Career Center. The Career Center is essentially sort of split into two areas, careers coaching and business development. And the business development team are, you know, they're talking with our recruiting partners, talking with our corporate partners, just to find out about what the thoughts are at this time. You know, we don't have much information to go on, so it's a lot of guesswork at the moment. So, yeah. You know, we haven't seen any, you know, sort of concrete decisions being made in terms of, you know, companies deciding where they want to keep business, what they want to do with hiring practices. But we are engaging in discussion. I think, you know, the two key areas of discussion for us will be obviously employment and immigration, which as a school are two things that we need to be keeping a close focus on. We haven't seen any changes in hiring practices for the students who graduated over the summer and who are continuing to get jobs, but we will continue to engage in discussion with applicants and candidates who have questions and concerns about what Brexit might mean to them as a potential student in the UK or as one day a potential employee in the UK. So I really encourage anyone who does have any questions or concerns to touch base with us, because we're very happy to keep everyone updated with the information that we're getting through the pipeline.
Okay, let's turn to the application and admissions for a second. What are each of these programs looking for in applicants? And let's first discuss what they have in common and then some of the specific differences. Let's start with the MIM.
Oh,
or actually, let's start with what they have in common, and then we'll go through them one at a time.
Yeah, I would say there are commonalities actually across all the early career programs. So the MIM, Global MIM, and MFA. Kind of at a standard, we expect everyone to meet the basic entry requirements. So that's GPA, that's GMAT or GRE score, English proficiency test, kind of all the numerical requirements, I would say. But from there, we're looking for kind of a few key pieces. We're looking for individuals who are motivated and who can demonstrate that they are motivated to excel in the community here, and who can demonstrate that they have motivated themselves throughout their undergraduate careers, be it in the classroom or outside of the classroom. We're looking for individuals who are engaged. Being a member of the London Business School community and being able to engage with your peers and your professors, it's an important part of being a London Business School student, being a London Business School community member. So it's important for us to be able to see individuals who are willing to engage with the community. I would also say we are looking for individuals who are ambitious, who have really pushed themselves to excel academically and also outside of the classroom as well. I would say outside of the classroom, that might be professionally, for those individuals who have pursued working opportunities. We also see students who have excelled in areas such as athletics or sports, music, those who have dedicated time to volunteering work or community service. So I think this is all sort of, I guess, potentially wrapping up to say we want to see, students who are engaged and motivated and ambitious and who are passionate, whatever it is that they're passionate, being able to show us that they've, pursued those passions and they're interested in bringing those passions and interests to the London Business School community.
Are there any differences in what you're looking for? Let's say, is our quantitative skills more important, let's say, for the MFA? Do you expect a higher test score? And do you have any preference in terms of the GRE or the GMAT?
In terms of tests, we accept both the GMAT and the GRE. I would also mention for the MFA, for anyone who has passed CFA level 1, that is allowed as a substitute for either the GMAT or the GRE. So we do have some students who have already passed CFA level 1 at the time of applying. With GMAT, there are some industries and some companies who do like to see GMAT. So for that reason, we would say, if you're interested in pursuing, again, these certain industries or companies, to look at the GMAT. So that would be kind of the recommendation from our side.
Which industries?
It tends to be consulting.
Yeah.
It tends to be consulting. I would say finance to a lesser extent, but there are some companies, but certainly for consultancies, we would very much encourage students to take the GMAT. And I guess in terms of from a differences perspective, in terms of the requirement for the MFA, students needing to come from a quantitative background, we will be taking a very close look at their undergraduate coursework to ensure that they have had a foundation in quantitative tools. You know, essentially faculty are expecting MFA students to really all be on the same page when they start the program, and to be able to use those financial tools, or excuse me, quantitative tools that they would have learned during their undergraduate studies. I would mention for the MFA, although students are expected to have a quantitative background, we do offer a financial industry tools portion of the curriculum, and that's where students are exposed to programming like VBA, Python, MATLAB, and sort of further advanced modeling Excel skills. So we, you know, there is opportunity for MFA students to sort of continue honing those quantitative skills and also those financial tools, which some students won't have had an introduction to.
Okay, that's excellent. Thank you. What do you really wish, what do you wish applicants would know or understand about the application process that they frequently just don't get?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Some people ask me when I ask that question, how much time do you have? But go ahead.
Yeah, well, that might be my next question if I take long enough to answer it. You know, I think the main things that I guess we're trying to do is as an admissions team, as application reviewers, as interviewers, which you might not necessarily sort of get from the information on the website, is we really want to be able to connect the dots. We want to understand how your undergraduate degree, how your undergraduate experience, how that has led to the MIM, GMIM, or MFA, and how that will ultimately lead to whatever your professional ambitions are, be it in the short term or the longer term. So, you know, we really want to understand what your rationale has been for pursuing the opportunities you've pursued, you know, what you've been able to learn from your experiences, because it's all about learning. You know, we want to know what skills have you developed, and how will you be able to apply those skills to the classroom here at London Business School. So for us, being able to connect the dots, sort of understand your reasoning for pursuing the experiences that you have, and also I think for us is being able to just get a sense of your story and your voice. You know, we have a fairly thorough admissions process. We have a, you know, an application process. There's an interview as well. And we're really trying to get a sense through these two pieces of the admissions process of who you are as an individual. Because, again, going back to that idea of the community here and the importance of community, we do want to see individuals who have something to share and who want to share. So, you know, I think it's very important to be able to kind of tell us your story and tell us in your voice as well. We want to hear from you, not, you know, necessarily the voice that you think we want to hear as a business school. What we want to hear is your voice.
Right. What can applicants expect? You mentioned the interview a few times. What can applicants expect in the London Business School interview for these early career programs?
So the interviews for all of the early career programs are really competency-based. You know, whoever would have interviewed you would have read your application in depth and might have some questions about points that you've raised in your application. So that could have been about your career ambitions or why you want to study at London Business School. Or there might be questions about, you know, why you pursued internships A, B, and C and why you pursued study abroad experience, you know, XYZ. So it's really competency based and, you know, again, looking to connect the dots and understanding who you are as an individual, what your motivation is to study at London Business School and the MIM, GMIM, or MFA, what your motivation is to pursue whatever career it is that you're interested in, and being able to engage in a conversation, you know, as to whether we can support you in those goals you have for yourself. Both professionally and personally, you know, we expect or hope in any case that students will use the year here to develop themselves personally as well. So we do want to get a sense of you know, that professional and personal development aims.
Thank you. That was an excellent answer. What tips do you have for applicants planning to apply either this year for your class matriculating in September 2017 or perhaps planning ahead for the 2018 matriculation? In other words, it'd be this year's college junior, for example, or a college senior planning to work for a year. So
sure.
It's two groups is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I would say for the juniors, for those students who have, excuse me, the extra year, I would say use the time to your advantage to prepare for things like GMAT or GRE. You know, we often hear from students who, you know, take GMAT maybe a little bit later in the year when they have senior dissertations to contend with, final exams, internships, and getting kind of prepared to leave college. That the schedule can be very busy. So I would say, you know, firstly, use the time to your advantage to kind of prep for whichever test it is that you're looking to take. And I would also say use the time to you know, do that research. Speak with students who are on the program. We have student ambassadors for all three of our programs, and you can find their information on our website and a little bit of a background on their profile and why they've decided to study here. But, you know, speak with students, speak with alumni to understand, you know, what they were able to gain from the program and if they were able to kind of achieve those aims that they had coming in, and any tips or advice that they have as well for, you know, being a successful student. Well, first being a successful applicant and second being a successful student once accepted to the program. For those students who are in their senior year and looking to apply, you know, within the next few months, I would say, you know, one of the important things would be to keep in touch with us in the admissions team. You know, as a first step, we always recommend sending your CV in for review. We can have a look at your eligibility to kind of get the conversation going. And we'll get the conversation going fast enough because we know that time is limited. You know, from there, I would say it's important not to kind of get overwhelmed with the application and to look at each piece kind of one at a time. So, you know, take some GMAT practice tests to see what areas maybe you're strong in, maybe what sections you need a little bit more practice in. We actually have a GMAT simulator on our website, which we would encourage anyone to use to kind of get a sense of the test layout and the type of questions that are asked. So, you know, and alongside that, having a look at the application and spending a little bit of time to, you know, kind of reflect on the questions. We hope that the application will be an opportunity for applicants to reflect as to, you know, whether or not this is the right program for them. We are the right school for them. And hopefully you can, you know, be able to get a sense of that from the questions that we're asking. And then I would say, you know, we have about 6 pages of application short answers. Then I would say have a look at those essay questions. We have 2 essays for both the MIM and the MFA. The GMIMs also have 2 essays, but we've also introduced this year video essays. So Global MIM applicants are required to submit 3 video essays where we assess certain competencies we're looking for in Global MIM applicants. So I would say kind of just piecing that all together, I would say just taking each step of the application, just kind of looking at it one piece at a time, you know, in order to you know, as I said, not get too overwhelmed, and to stay in touch with us, to you know, ask us a little bit about our recommendations on, you know, when is the best time to apply if you haven't yet taken the GMAT, or when is the best time to apply if your references won't be able to submit by a certain deadline. And we're very happy to sort of talk through our recommendations and our advice on, you know, kind of how to tackle that, those various steps of the application process and when is best to apply.
All right, great. Thank you. What would you have liked me to ask you? I didn't ask.
Oh, what would you like me to ask you?
Yeah.
You know, I
freebie.
Think one of the, just one freebie. I'll have to be very careful.
If you want 2 freebies, I'll give you 2. I'm in a good mood.
I guess, you know, one thing I would say is I know, you know, a lot of your listeners are based in the U.S., and one of the questions we already covered briefly was kind of about that difference in, you know, do I pursue my studies now with a master's program, or do I wait to study, you know, to pursue an MBA? And, you know, as we discussed, I think it's a very personal choice. But one thing that, you know, we are happy to engage in discussion with, I think, you know, just because we are the admissions team and, you know, we review applications, it doesn't mean that we're not available to speak to anyone before they've submitted their application. So I think if you have any, you know, concerns about, is this the right time for me to pursue my studies? Is this the right path for me based on what I want to do in my short or longer term career goals? I would say engage in conversation with us. We'd love to, you know, be able to speak with candidates throughout the entire application process. And we ultimately want to be able to help you submit the best application that you can. You know, any way that we can help in that, we are thrilled to be able to.
And where can listeners and potential applicants learn more or connect with you, engage in that dialogue?
Yeah, the best way to connect with us is through our website, www.london.edu, and through there you can find the websites for the Masters in Management, the Global Masters in Management, and the Masters in Financial Analysis. And then you'll see there are links to our Facebook page where you are able to see what the current students are doing in terms of their activities and their various immersions trips and company visits and life in London. We also have links to the student ambassadors who I mentioned, who I would definitely recommend contacting to learn more about the student experience. And then we also have blogs. So our admissions team, we post blogs on various topics from how to write a good CV, how to prepare for an interview, how to approach attending an event when there are lots of other candidates around trying to, you know, speak to a couple of people at a very busy event. What's the best way to approach schools? So there's a lot of very interesting, I think, topics to support your application journey on there. And then I mentioned webinars. We run webinars, regularly with various members of our admissions team, and we attend events all over the world as well. So we are available, you know, virtually anywhere.
Okay, great. Jamie, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I think we've covered a lot of ground, and I think listeners really have a much better idea of the wonderful portfolio of programs that London Business School offers to early career applicants and students. We'll include links in the show notes at accept.com/180 to the resources that Jamie just mentioned, as well as to related articles and shows. I also want to thank you, listener, for joining Jamie Wright and me for our 180th episode. If you find the show worthwhile, please subscribe. Make sure you don't miss any future shows, be they with admissions directors, professors, current students, test prep pros, or alumni doing great things. Now, at this point in time, I have no idea what you're doing. You may be jogging, driving, cooking, in any case, unable to take notes. And we have covered a lot of ground in this episode. Don't worry. We've taken the notes for you, and you can find them at accepted.com/180. You can also find on Accepted all kinds of resources to help you with choosing programs, essays, interviews, resume, and these resources are in a format that suits your taste and needs. We have everything from articles, free downloads, podcasts, webinars, videos, to individual consulting and advising. Check it out and start at accepted.com/180. Thanks again for coming. This is Admissions Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.